Good morning. Thanks for joining me on the Meg Ellefson Show. I sincerely appreciate you tuning in. As always, if you've missed any of the conversations, first of all, why would you? During the course of the 4.5 hours of programming gold, you can go out to WSAU.com and all are podcasted for your listening enjoyment. This morning, during this hour, I am delighted to have joining me Antonia Cover. She is the Director of Women's Outreach for Gun Owners of America and the founder of Empowered 2A, a partner organization, and she'll have to tell me, it is a partner organization to another organization that aims to teach women about firearms safety, self-defense, and gun rights advocacy. Of course, it's Gun Owners of America partner organization. She's appeared on several major national television programs, has testified on Capitol Hill, and is herself a survivor of sexual assault. Good morning, Antonia. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing great.
That's so funny.
Thanks
because
for having me.
I was looking at your bio, and I don't know why I was flummoxed by GOA. I was just like, what is that organization? Oh. Obviously, it's Gun Owners of America. I just suddenly thought to myself, come on, Meg. Well, I am delighted that you're joining me. I wanted to start because we were chatting off air, and I think it's, and you know, I shared a little bit of my personal story of, becoming a conservative. And you'd mentioned that at one point, you used to be, well, you converted from being on the left to the right. And if you wouldn't mind taking a few moments to talk about what inspired you and really what motivated you to become a conservative.
Yeah, well, if anybody wants to hear kind of a picture, a story of it, a visual as well, there's a video with PragerU that I did in 2015, 2016. Called Black Millennial and Conservative, where I kind of talk about my story as well. But yeah, I grew up in a Democrat-focused household. They would say they voted Democrat. Although they had a lot of conservative leanings, grew up, you know, Roman Catholic. So that's a whole other conversation, just, you know, about Blue Dog Democrats and how that's changed so much in the last decade or so. But for the most part, it was really when I became a Christian, a born-again Christian in college, which, again, not usually likely place for a lot of those types of conversions, that I really realized that the values that I grew up with, but then also especially the values as a Christian, I just could not find space in the current Democratic Party to stay there. And so I realized that, you know, going on the right was the way to go. But most importantly, I knew I had to hold on to my convictions, and my convictions have always been very, especially as a sexual assault survivor, to protect life and to protect those who are vulnerable and defenseless. And not only was that being pro-life, but that was also to realize that I was, you know, pro-Second Amendment, because I wanted to preserve my life. I wanted to preserve the life of those on my college campuses, particularly women. And so that's why I started getting into the Second Amendment movement and started Empowered 2A, because I wanted to change the narrative that the left had on gun ownership and being empowering women and protecting women, because I really felt that if you really wanted to protect women, then you should become a Second Amendment advocate and you should protect that right to defend yourself.
So I will say that, I mean, you can respond with your personal experience, but you know, I shared with you off air that I grew up in a, well, who hasn't grown up in a dysfunctional family, haha. But I mean, I grew up with a very liberal Democrat mom and a very conservative Republican dad, and obviously they both had an influence over me at different parts of my life. But one of the things that we were never exposed to growing up, I mean, and really talking about gun safety, but my dad wasn't a hunter, and so we were never exposed to any kind of guns, and were really made to fear them and be afraid of them, and that was my mom's influence. And I don't know if that was your experience when you were growing up in your, as you say, I think you said socialist Democrat family, but what changed for you that you obviously are now involved in as the Women's Outreach Director for Gun Owners of America? What motivated you to be exposed to and learn about and properly use guns.
Yeah, so this is going to be, hold on with me, right? My audience, hold on with me when I say this, that it actually started out, again, I was on the left. It started out because I was so much in the feminist movement. Now, most people would not even think, okay, feminism, being pro-Second Amendment. But I think the logical actual thinking and reasoning is that if you are so, I would say, for lack of a better word, obsessed or preoccupied with making sure you're independent, that you can take care of yourself in every means, economical, every single type of way, right, then it would make sense that the next logical fact is that you, if you're a feminist or woman who's focused on empowering yourself as a woman, would then want to have an equal way of being able to protect yourself just like any man would, just like any other person would, so you can defend yourself, right? Because it's about being independent. So Lord saved me and got me out of that mindset of feminism in general, but it still goes back to the logical thinking of, because I was in that space of empowering women, of starting to defend women, I think it's the logical next step that then you want to then defend yourself and protect other women and realize that if I want to truly be equal, then I have the choice to be able to defend myself, and I should be able to choose what type of way I defend myself. So that's why I say that's kind of how it started. Of course, that was 10 years ago, but through that, I realized through, conservatism and freedom and liberty, the liberty movement, the principles that, yeah, it makes sense actually that the conservatives, Republicans, the people on the right have it right, because I truly want to defend my rights. Well, that's one of the biggest ones, and to preserve my own safety is how I preserve all the other rights, is how all the other rights are able to exist because I'm still alive, right? So that is what really brought me into realizing that there was, and I think that's also what brought me into that the left, who says that they're pro-Second Amendment, or pro-women, rather, and that they're pro-rights. Well, if you're taking away that very important right and you're not even allowing women particularly, because that's a lot of the narrative you hear is from Moms Demand Action, from these female, quote-unquote, feminist groups, well, the reason why we don't advocate for the Second Amendment or for gun rights is because, well, if a woman had it, well, then she wouldn't be able to know how to take care of herself. She might use it against herself, and she's defenseless against that, right? Wow. So it's just this completely switch. It's a switch when it comes to the Second Amendment, when it comes to gun rights, of you're talking about feminism and empowering women that they can do anything a man can do until it comes to the Second Amendment. Until it comes to gun rights, then suddenly it's a weak, defenseless woman who can't possibly become competent and confident enough to use a gun the right way to defend herself. That's the type of narrative and thinking that I realized was so detrimental to, well, for those who are wanting to realize that they can defend themselves, but also I believe it's intentional. I think we were talking about this before. It's intentional that if that's logical thinking, then there has to be some other agenda that people are pushing on the left to keep women from wanting to really take hold of their gun rights. And it's because it's really about not having gun rights at all. And that's the agenda the left wants to push.
Isn't that interesting? I mean, the utter hypocrisy. I mean, there's so many examples of it on the left. And, you know, I don't know if they consciously choose to be hypocrites or if they are that deluded or clueless that they don't realize how glaring it is to those of us. And I mean, I would say, you said it's been 10 years and it's been longer for me that, you know, I experienced the conversion from, and I don't even know if I'd say left to right. I would say more like clueless to right. But just the idea that they are, they're dishonest with what they stand for. I mean, there are so many problems with the feminist movement that, you know, they remain silent, and, you know, this is getting off topic, but it seems to me that they also remain silent when it comes to men, biological males, wanting to play, wanting to compete against biological females in their sports.
Right, right. There's a lot of that hypocrisy there of saying that they're for one thing, but then it completely, I mean, if you're really for women's rights, then we're not interchangeable, and even science proves that. So there's a lot of this flawed thinking there, but particularly on the Second Amendment, that's what I found so jarring. But it really, I think, you know, God does everything for a reason for his, you know, for his people. And mm-hmm. Just been a journey through this to kind of unravel a lot of that type of thinking, but do it in public. And so I've been able to do that through, you know, Empower 2A, through speaking about, you know, our motto, gun rights are women's rights, kind of help people, you know, on both sides, really, to help people think differently, but really think about the truth and like where things have come from and how badly we've gone a different way from maybe there was, you know, women's suffrage movement and stuff like that. There were things that were truth, was truth in there, and there were people who love the Lord, Susan B. Anthony, who, you know, people who actually were doing this to bring equal rights to people, but then they turned it into something completely different, and it was really an agenda, not about women or empowering them, but for their own selfish needs.
That's a pattern with those on the left. So before we run out of time, I want to give you an opportunity to talk about your recent op-ed entitled Gun Control Enables Sexual Violence. And so let's discuss this topic, because again, we can talk about the hypocrisy of those on the left in their effort to limit our Second Amendment or take away our Second Amendment rights. They again reveal how hypocritical their efforts are.
Absolutely. And yeah, we just have to look at the blue states that are pushing, who have been pushing gun control for so long. We're looking, I mean, right now on the news is Colorado and assault weapons ban that they have there. And then of course, New York has always been in the news when it comes to that, and how essentially the governor and every level of government is trying to oppose the Bruin case and everything that the Supreme Court has already said, look, this is the Constitution and the Second Amendment. They're doing the opposite of and putting more gun control. And so, yeah, at the end of the day, though, it's really impacting our people, like our women, our those minorities, right, that they say that they're really for. Those are the people who are unfortunately usually on the end of more violence, of violence in general. They want to say gun violence, but violence in general, sexual violence, any type of violence, really, on the crime side. And then also, of course, we were seeing a lot of people who, just as women, we saw a lot of women after COVID, or during COVID rather, realize that, look, it comes to me who's going to be able to protect myself. And so if the police are not going to be able to show up, if they're not going to be there, then I need to defend myself. And that's what we're seeing, these wild, just amazing studies, really just show what I've seen for so many years, but proving that women are now almost 50% of the new gun owners. And then of those gun owners, 21% of those women are Black women. So it's just going, all studies are just showing that the narrative that gun rights are for male, you know, for white males is absolutely false, and that it's a diverse group, because the Second Amendment is not even an American right. It's not a white person white a right or a male right. It's a human right. It's a right for all people. And that's what we're seeing in these studies is reflective of.
Well, and Antonia, I think about, I got a concealed carry permit here in Wisconsin. And often just having a gun with you is empowering, and it gives you a sense of confidence and takes away the fear that you might have if you encounter a situation that in which you need to defend yourself. And you know, I would argue too that, and I support being properly trained on how to use a firearm, and that's part of the concealed carry training, but then also it also means that you have to understand the seriousness of carrying a gun, and if you are, you know, if you are in a situation where you have to draw it and defend yourself with it, I mean, that's a very serious situation. And I think for many, I would imagine that, and you know, obviously I'm not citing statistics, but I'm hypothesizing that for many, a carrying a gun or having a firearm and your potential assailant being aware of that is also a deterrent for any crime being committed against you.
Absolutely. And there's been studies after studies about just that alone of defensive gun use in America, and how it goes from everywhere from the lowest conservative numbers of 500,000 a year to almost 3 million a year defensive uses of gun use. And so most of that, though, are when they actually just brandish the firearm, right? Because when it comes to being a criminal, at least they're not going to be stupid on that fact. I mean, they're there for the opportunity because they thought that, especially if it's a woman, right, that they look for certain type of people and potential victims. But once they find that you have a firearm, that's why it's an equalizer. That's what they know. Most of the time they don't have a firearm themselves. They just think that they could overpower you. So that's why they flee from that situation. Just by you brandishing. So that's what we've seen in studies, and it's been on the left, on the right, it doesn't matter who's conducting the study, it just shows over and over again that the sense of gun use tends to be just brandishing alone.
Well, let's talk in our remaining time about the White House forming the Office of Gun Violence Prevention, mm-hmm. and how that's just, I mean, it's just paying lip service, in my opinion. I mean, there's really no any objective that would actually help protect women in that formation mm-hmm. of that organization or that office.
Right, and that's the thing. It's like you said, it's lip service. It's a signaling. It comes down to, and that was part of what my own experience of, you know, growing up in Columbine, growing up with, you know, these mass shootings that they highlighted, particularly in, you know, late 90s to 2000s, as being someone who was, I would have said, anti-gun when I was a Democrat at the time, and up until college when I changed my views, it was, I remember simply just logically of thinking, well, if gun control works, and I've seen it growing up, I've seen all of the worst ones in our history, then why do we continue to put more laws that are of the same thinking? It was, you know, that type of thinking that made me realize that, you know, obviously this is not right here. This is not even good policy. If we're just going to look at it, it's not good policy. If you're going to continue to throw the same type of law that you swore that was going to help the first time. So that's what we're seeing with this center or whatever. It's just really more tax dollars, our own tax dollars, virtue signaling into something that is really not going to do the work that needs to be done to help people. Because if you're looking even just at red flag laws, particularly with women, you know, that's where it came to my attention that, you know, as a sexual assault survivor, survivors in general, I mean, that's majority of a lot of women who become firearm owners are doing it for self-defense reasons. And a lot of them have some type of trauma background, whether it's domestic violence or whether it's sexual violence or violence in general. They're trying to protect themselves and they're trying to make sure that they never become a victim again, just like I did. And so since that is true, then those types of weapons, honestly, like red flag laws, actually hurt women because they're saying that if you have any type of history, which might be PTSD, which might be some type of trauma involved, well, those are the types of things that people will call on other people. Like in Colorado, for example, they'll say, well, that person's not safe with a firearm because I know that person has this type of history or that type of history. Red flag laws are especially detrimental to people who need it the most, the people who are trying to protect themselves because they have some kind of drama in their background. That impacts women especially. And so policies like that are actually hurting women, particularly women who are trying to have the confidence even get to the point where they want to be able to defend themselves. They're not going to come out and talk about that if they feel that they might have that law weaponized against them in the future.
You know, it's unfortunate when you talk about policies is that so much of what motivates those on the left, Democrats, in crafting anti-gun policies is ignorance. And, you know, it would be really refreshing for even our Republicans, whether it's at the state level or at the federal level, to approach Democrats and ask them to participate in some sort of education that would help them understand gun safety and really the importance of strengthening the Second Amendment, and really how it, you know, as you have stated in our conversation this morning, how it enables women to protect themselves as opposed to making them less safe, which is what they are, I don't know if you want to say, deliberately or ignorantly asserting.
Right. I mean, it's hard not to see that. It's hard not to say that it's not deliberate because of what we've seen. Even if you're looking at just the different name changes that we see with every, like, organizations, Bloomberg organizations funded, like Every Town and the Brady Coalition. If you look back into not that long ago, the history of the name changes from the 80s, where it was, you know, everyone talks about the rifle, the assault rifles now, the ARs are now, right, quote unquote assault rifles, right? But the, in the 80s and 90s, it was all about handguns. It was all about banning handguns. The Brady Coalition was a coalition to ban, you know, to end handgun ownership. So that name changed to what it is now, and the other organizations as well, like, for example, Every Town as well used to be a different name as well. But it was all because they were trying to ban handguns. And so Otis McDonald in that case, the Chicago. And so these, you know, the Heller case, these types of cases that were pivotal of saying, no, you're not going to do that, and that's not going to happen. So they went to what they wanted to say now, what is the quote-unquote scary gun, which is the rifle now. It's all a cyclical type of PR stunt and cycle to essentially get to what they really want, which is to completely confiscate all firearms in general. So there's no such thing as a safe firearm for them, or common ground for them, or common sense. All these name changes are all just different things to really help the society at the time to be able to take in what they're really trying to do, which is eventually to end all type of firearm usage in America.
The only thing that stops a bad guy with a gun is a good girl with a gun. Antonia Culver, thank you so much for joining me this morning, again, from the Women's Outreach Director for Gun Owners of America. What's the website URL for Gun Owners of America?
Yes, you can find us at gunowners.org, and become a member, join. It's only $20. And for those ladies, once you become a member, you become an Empowered 2A Coalition member automatically, and that allows you to be able to come to our events that we have. We have events all over the country, but we have our national event we have every year starting this last year. We just had it in March during International Women's Day. So please join, and then you can be able to come to our events that we have every year as well.
I would love to invite you here to Wisconsin. So we'll have to talk about
done.
That and have an
absolutely.
Yes. Well, especially during the warm weather. I wouldn't wish the you know, our Wisconsin winters, although we had a mild one this year, but we'd love to have you here. So thank you, Antonia Culver. I appreciate you joining me this morning. I hope you have a wonderful day. Keep up the great work.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
We'll talk again soon. Going to the 9:30 news, followed by your calls on the other side, 715-845-2155 on the Meg Ellefson Show on WSAU.